There are many different groups that will go to hellfire, depending upon the gravity and number of sins. There are those who have been mentioned by name, like Abu Jahl, Abu Talib, Abu Lahab, Fir'aun, Amr ibn Luhay, the wife of Lut, and the wife of Nuh. There are others that have been mentioned or described to us by groups, like the disbelievers, the polytheists, the hypocrites. As for the major sinners amongst the Muslims, those who died as Muslims but without repenting, they are under the Mashia. The Almighty Lord may forgive them, and the Almighty Lord may punish them, but they will not abide eternally in hellfire. But those who rejected faith and died rejecting faith, they shall abide eternally in hellfire. Their punishment will not be lightened, nor will they ever be reprieved, as the Almighty Lord says in His glorious uncreated word.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين كفروا وكذبوا بآياتنا أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون.
As for those who disbelieved and denied the message of Islam, denied our revelations, our signs, our proof, our evidences, they will be the companions of the fire, where they shall dwell therein forever. They indeed, the disbelievers, they made not a just estimate of Allah Ta'ala, such as is due to Him. Brothers and sisters in Islam, alhamdulillah that we have been blessed with this great deen, and we are not among those who disbelieved in the message of La ilaha illallah. What we should be doing is, however, we should value ourselves as being Muslims. For now our nation has been blessed as us. No other creation has been shielded by Allah's mercy as we have. Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon us His blessings. He has favored us and made us amongst the greatest nations to walk this earth, the nation of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is wallahi a privilege, a high honor, a favor from the Almighty Lord. This is why the early Muslims, they understood this. They understood the meaning of Islam, the blessing of Islam. And thus they became the pioneers in every walk of life, the teachers of every branch of knowledge for all mankind. They became the embodiment with the highest moral values, the highest moral standards. This is why they were respected and admired and feared in every part of the world. Islam came with such beauty that not only those who looked at Islam loved Islam, but they loved the people who carried Islam, because the Muslims knew and held Islam. So, praise the Almighty Lord. Thank the Almighty Lord for what He has blessed you with. Hellfire is hot. Its punishment is severe. Thank Allah Ta'ala that you are not amongst those who rejected faith. We thank you, O Allah Ta'ala, for this great blessing that you have bestowed upon us. Another group that the Almighty Lord mentions that will abide eternally in hellfire are those mushrikun, the polytheists, those who joined in worship others of Allah Ta'ala. They likewise will abide therein, eternal damnation forever, as Allah Ta'ala says.
إن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين في نار جهنم خالدين فيها أولئك هم شر البرية.
Those who rejected the truth from amongst the people of the scripture and the polytheists, they will be in hellfire where they shall abide therein forever. They are the worst of creatures. The worst of creatures, Allah Ta'ala says. And when they are in the fire, they will beg their Lord. They will plead mercy from their Lord. But never will they get out, as Allah Ta'ala says.
يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنَ النَّارِ وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنْهَا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ.
Their wish will be is after they go into hellfire and they witness the evil in hellfire, the punishment. Their wish will be to get out of hellfire. But never will they ever get out of hellfire. And theirs, Allah Ta'ala says, and theirs will be a lasting torment. The question is, do Muslims commit shirk? It's a pretty silly question, isn't it? Do Muslims commit shirk? Does shirk exist in a nation of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? It does. Allah Ta'ala answers this saying, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. And the majority believe not in Allah Ta'ala, but they associate partners with Him. The majority, they claim to be the bearers of faith of La ilaha illallah, do not understand Tawheed, do not understand Shirk. Apparently they are Muslims, but unconsciously they are involved in acts of shirk. Supplicating, praying, seeking refuge, seeking aid from the dead, from the saints, from the prophets, from the angels, from the jinn, from the living. They make their vows to them, they offer their slaughter into them, they invoke them for the fulfillment of their wishes. They even, wallahi, many Muslims attribute their sons to these false deities. And despite all of these actions, they claim to be strong Muslims. Strong Muslims. This is not Islam. This is not Islam. This is shirk. There was a poem that was found next to the Prophet's grave, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, written by a girl. This poem read, O Prophet of Allah, come to our world caught in the flames of war. O Prophet of Allah, come to the rescue of a ummah plunged in the darkness of doubts in Islam. O Prophet of Allah, come with a speedy victory to the world. And it goes on. Shirk after shirk, shirk after shirk. This person obviously claims to be a Muslim, but ignorant of Tawheed and ignorant of shirk. Not knowing what shirk is. How many Muslims pray their five prayers while they're wearing amulets, talismans, twines, rings, bracelets, or anything for the prevention or lifting of harm or affliction, or to gain benefit? How many Muslims do you see as soon as there's a new boy, a newborn? What happens? The immediate bead comes, the blue bead, al-kharija, which they claim that it will prevent the evil eye. Immediately is placed on this child. This is shirk. Ultimate shirk.
when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a man with a bracelet. Another hadith mentions a brass ring. He said, "What are you wearing this for?" The man said, "Ya Rasulullah, to overcome the weakness of old age." He said, "What? To overcome the weakness of old age?" He said, "Remove it, for it will only increase your weakness. And should death overcome you while you are wearing this, you shall never ever succeed." Why? Because it is shirk. It is shirk. How many people, when they go to the Prophet's mosque or to the Kaaba or to Mecca and Medina or to Uhud or Badr or any so-called holy place, they seek the blessing of the walls of the Kaaba, the Prophet's mosque, or the earth of the, or the soil of Medina, Mecca, or Uhud. They wrap themselves on the walls or on the earth or their faces with it. How many people kiss the hand of the Shaykh for blessing? For blessing. How many people send their female relatives to so-called imposters, not sheikhs, to imposters, claiming that he will bless them by committing illicit sexual intercourse with them? There are many of them. Wallahi, many. This is shirk. This is shirk. How many people swear by other than Allah Ta'ala? Bin Nabi, bi rahmati abik, bi sharafak, wallahi, bi fajr hadha al-nahar, I say. By the daybreak of this day. Or bil layl. Or bi rahmati abik. Or bi sharafak, for example. He says, "What shirk?" Obviously, they have not understood tawheed, nor have they understood shirk. How many people say, "Had there not been this dog here, this house would be robbed. Or had not it been for this person, he would have been killed. Or had not. Where's Allah? Where's Allah in all this? This is shirk. How many people believe in those imposters that claim to know the unseen? Astrologers, soothsayers, fortune tellers, magicians, sorcerers. Nothing but imposters stealing from the feeble-minded, ignorant Muslims. This is shirk. This is shirk. How many people believe in the horoscopes? And after believing in the horoscopes, they go to the books, the magazines, the newspapers to read the star signs. You know, I'm Libya, I'm this, I'm that. I want to see what's going to happen this month, or this year, or this day. This is shirk. This is shirk, O Muslims, O believers. How many people believe in pantheism, that everything is Allah and Allah is everything? This is shirk in essence. Like Al-Hallaj, who was one of the greatest leaders of this belief and the originators of this sect, he said, "I am Allah and Allah is I." And thus he was condemned by all the scholars of his time and thus executed, slaughtered. Why? Because he's a mushrik. And they killed this shirk belief by killing him. Yet his followers are many. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ And the majority believe not, except that they commit acts of shirk. Brothers and sisters, this is not a lesson of shirk, but it's a warning that we Muslims should be aware of this. Aware of this, vigilant. Understand Islam. Understand what Tawheed is. Understand what shirk is, so you do not fall into shirk and you become thus a mushrikeen. And we heard where the mushrikeen end up. Eternally in hellfire. Hellfire is hot and its punishment is severe. We ask the Almighty Lord to keep us far away from it. Another group that the Almighty Lord mentions to us that will abide eternally in hellfire are the disbelievers from amongst the jinn. We all know that jinn is a part of Allah's creation, separate from man and angels. However, they share certain qualities with man. Jinn share certain qualities with man, like the intellect, discrimination, freedom, the power to choose from right and wrong. And we all know that they are hidden forces, invisible to the eyes of man in their normal state. But like man, they may believe and they may disbelieve, and thus they are responsible and will be called to account on the day of retribution. The Almighty Lord mentions to us in His glorious uncreated word that a company of jinn listened to the Quran and thus accepted the mission of Islam, the mission of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as he says in Surah Al-Jinn, فَتَفَضَّلْ يَا مُصْطَفَى.
بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدِ فَآمَنَّا بِهِ وَلَنْ نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا.
Say, O Muhammad, it has been revealed to me that a company of jinn, a group of jinn, listened to the Quran and then said, we have heard a wonderful recital. We have heard a wonderful recital. It guides to the straight path. And we, this is the jinn, have believed therein. And we shall never ever associate partners to Allah Ta'ala. This is the jinn. And likewise, he mentions to us, the Almighty Lord, that among them are believers, and among them are disbelievers. فَتَفَضَّلْ يَا مُصْطَفَى.
وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَمَنْ أَسْلَمَ فَأُولَئِكَ تَحَرَّوْا رَشَدًا وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا.
And among us are Muslims, this is the jinn speaking, and among us are disbelievers. As for those who have embraced Islam, for they have sought the right path. As for those who have deviated from justice, remained in disbelief, then they shall be the firewood for hellfire. This is another group that will abide in hellfire forever. Likewise, there are other groups, but these are the main heads, we can say. So when these people enter or reach the gates of hellfire, and we all know that hellfire has gates, not one gate, not two gates, more than this. The keepers of the gates of hellfire will speak, communicate to the people of hellfire upon reaching the gate of hellfire. As the Almighty Lord mentions, فَتَفَضَّلْ.
وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم رسل منكم يتلون عليكم آيات ربكم وينذرونكم لقاء يومكم هذا قالوا بلى ولكن حقت كلمة العذاب على الكافرين قيل ادخلوا أبواب جهنم خالدين فيها فبئس مثوى المتكبرين.
And the disbelievers will be led in crowds to hellfire. And when they reach the gates of hellfire, the gates will be opened. And when they're opened, the keepers of hellfire, the gatekeepers will ask them, did not there come unto you messengers from yourselves, reciting unto you the verses of your Rabb, of your Lord, and warning you of the meeting of this day of yours? They will say, yes. But the word of torment has been justified against the disbelievers. And it will be said to them, enter you the gates of hellfire to abide therein. And what an evil abode that is of the arrogant. And in Surah Al-Hijr, the Almighty Lord specifies the exact number of the gates of hellfire. فَتَفَضَّلْ يَا مُصْطَفَى.
وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ لها سبعة أبواب لكل باب منهم جزء مقسوم.
And the Almighty Lord says, translated, this is when they enter the gates. It has seven gates, Allah Ta'ala says. Seven gates. To each of these gates is a specific class of sinners assigned. This is the gates of hellfire. Now they enter hellfire, the disbelievers, the kuffar. And once they enter hellfire, the gates will be locked, they'll be sealed. And there'll be no exit. Now we see here, there's something called a fire exit. Do we not? Every single building has a what? By law, regulations, you have to have a fire exit, do you not? Over there, by law, you are not allowed. There is no such thing as a fire exit. No such thing as an outlet. There is no such thing as a door. It gets locked and you are stuck inside forever. As the Almighty Lord mentions.
والذين كفروا بآياتنا هم أصحاب المشأمة عليهم نار مؤصدة.
And for those who have disbelieved, they will be the companions of the left hand, the dwellers of the fire, who shall be covered with the fire, enveloped by the fire, and there will be no outlet, no door, no exit. And thus, this will be the day of reckoning. And the Almighty Lord mentions to us or explains more of their situation in Surah Al-Humazah. فَتَفَضَّلْ يَا مُصْطَفَى.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويل لكل همزة لمزة.
Woe to every slanderer and backbiter. SubhanAllah, let's not make you scared. Where are the backbiters out there? Where are the slanderers of their Muslim brothers and sisters out there? Do you not fear from this verse? Woe to every backbiter and slanderer. Fear the Almighty Lord, brothers and sisters, and speak not of your brother and sister except that which he loves. He who gathers his wealth, who gathers his assets, he just gathers and gathers and accumulates and tries to eat everything in sight. And he starts counting, counting, counting every day. Forgets Islam, he gathers and gathers. Alhamdulillah, tonight I got this. I made this. Oh, it's increased. This is all that he's bothered with. Thus,
يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ.
He thinks all this wealth, all this gathering, all this assets, counting every day, 20, 30, 40, next day, 50, 60, 70, next day, 80, 90, 100. He thinks all this counting, all this gathering, all this accumulation will make him last forever. Then,
كَلَّا لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ.
Listen to what Allah says. No, nay, never. He will be thrown into a crushing fire. In other words, what are you counting for? You are counting it for those who are going to be your heirs, not for yourself. And even theirs, the heirs, is going to be inheritance for their heirs and their heirs. In other words, you do not own it at the end of the day.
وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةِ.
And what would make you know what the crushing fire is? What crushing fire? What is it?
نَارُ اللَّهِ
الْمُوقَدَةِ. The fire of Allah Ta'ala kindled. And we heard before in our first lessons how hot, how intense, how fierce that fire is. 1,000 years red, 1,000 years yellow, 1,000 years black. I think it is hot. The fire of Allah kindled.
التي تطلع على الأفئدة.
That which leaps up over the people. In other words, no matter where you are, it's over you.
إنها عليهم مؤصدة.
It will be closed over you, shut over you, shut upon you. There is no exit,
Left is fire, right is fire, back is fire, front is fire, top is fire, bottom is fire, inside is fire. So you are fire, in other words. Nothing but fire.
في عمد ممددة.
With pillars stretched forth. And here Mukati, one of the predecessors, mentions that when the people of hellfire enter hell, the gates will firmly close behind them, firmly. And they'll be shut, locked, with an iron bolt. Why? So the fire, the heat, the pain will become more intense, will intensify. And when they're in there, they will beg for mercy. They will plead for mercy. Ya Rab, please forgive us. Have mercy on us. But is he going to reply to them in a positive way? Or is he going to reply to them in a negative way? Let us see what he says to them when they plead for mercy.
قَالَ اخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ.
He will say to them when they plead for mercy, remain you there with ignominy or in ignominy, ultimate humiliation and disgrace. And then he say, this is more humiliation, and speak not to me. I don't want to speak to you. Don't speak to me. Allah Ta'ala is saying to them, and speak not to me. Allahu Akbar. This is the situation of the people of hellfire. Now they've entered hellfire. The doors have sealed, they're locked. And what happens when you close something? What happens to the inside? When you want to burn a fire, like an oven for example, if you leave the doors open, there's not much heat in there. There is, but not much. But when you close it, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, you fried eggs on the stove. If you want the top to burn or fry better or cook better, what do? You put a lid on that frying pan, do you not? And you won't get no more yolk, which is the liquid yolk. It'll become hard. Exactly the same scenario. The doors will be sealed, no outlet, no exit. It will become hot and hotter and hotter and more fiercer by the second. Allahu Akbar. So when they're in there, do they remain the same way they were in the life of this world? Do their bodies change? The people of hell? The people of hell, their bodies will be changed. They'll have new bodies in there. They will not have the same hand size or the same body size. They will be giants. They will be monstrous, humongous. Why? Allah Ta'ala says, لِيَذُوكُ الْعَذَابِ. So they may taste the penalty. So the penalty can intensify. The suffering can intensify. The torture will be more painful. The bigger you are, the more pain it's going to incur. Is it not true? Absolutely. It's been mentioned that the molar tooth or the canine tooth will be the size of what? Of Uhud. And Uhud is not a small mountain. It's a huge mountain. This is one tooth. And I think we have 12 molars in our mouth. 12. This is one tooth. And the distance between the two shoulders will be that which is traveled 3 days for a swift rider. 3 days travel. The distance between this and that for a kafir in hellfire. 3 days travel. How many kilometers is that? Allahu Akbar. Likewise, the seat that the kafir occupies is equal to the distance of Mecca and Medina. Approximately 500 kilometers. This is the seat that he will sit on. The skin of the disbeliever or the kafir in hellfire will be 3 nights travel. Allahu Akbar. This is not in a fabricated hadith. This is not the saying of our grandpa or the grandma or the shaykh or someone. This is the saying of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the most authentic books on earth, Bukhari and Muslim. 3 days travel, 3 nights travel. It's the thickness of the skin. And when they're in there, when obviously the skin is going to melt, they'll be roasted and roasted and roasted. You know when you put a spit and the fire is underneath the charcoal, right? So to get to that part, like you do it slowly so you won't burn it, correct? And there's only fire here. But the fire in hell is not only here. You'll be roasted. The fire will be here, will be here, will be here, will be everywhere.
So you'll be roasted all at once. Every part of your body will be burning, melted. And what happens when it melts? Alhamdulillah, it's all over? Absolutely not. That will burn. The denizens of hellfire, they will burn, and they will burn, and they will burn. And after having been burnt, Allahu musta'an, their bodies will be restored. And the process will start from you over and over again, as the Almighty Lord mentions.
إن الذين كفروا بآياتنا سوف نصليهم نارا كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب إن الله كان عزيزا حكيما.
Once their skin has been burnt, we shall form a fresh layer of skin. A fresh layer of skin. And how thick is that layer of skin? 3 nights' journey. A fresh layer of skin so they can taste the punishment over and over and over again. The saying of the Almighty Lord. This is the way they enter. The size of monsters, giants. Now when they're in there, obviously they're going to get hungry. And as humans, we get hungry, do we not? But what do they eat? What do they drink? For the people of hellfire, will be made thirsty? Will be made hungry? And do they get food? Yes, they do. Do they get drink? Yes, they do. They will be urged to eat voraciously. And they'll be drinking like diseased camels, drinking, raging with thirst. But what is in the menu of hellfire? What are they given to eat? And what are they given to drink? So let's open the menu here and see what the menu of hellfire is. Oh, it's a terrible one. It's gross. It's disgusting. It's scary. Nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not chips and fries. Nor is it drink, cola and Fanta. No. It is food and drink that will neither nourish the body nor in any way lessen the burning pan of hunger. They have the choice to eat a tree called a Dariya, which is an obnoxious, thorny, poisonous bitter tree, as the Almighty Lord says.
ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع.
They shall not have any food except that of the bitter, obnoxious, thorny ضريع plant, which will neither
لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع,
which will never nourish the body nor satisfy anything. If they don't like a ضريع, there is something else called a زقوم, another type of food on the menu. And a zakum is a tree that is grown on the very bottom depths of hellfire. Let us see what Allah says about a zakum.
Inna shajarata zakum ta'amul athim kal muhli yaghli fil butun ka ghalil hamim.
And zakum is indeed the tree, the food for the sinful. Like molten brass, it will boil in their bellies, like boiling oil. And as Allah Ta'ala says, just like the boiling, scalding of water. Just like the boiling of the scalding water. And to further illustrate this, the Almighty Lord mentions, or explains to us, this dreadful and bitter tree that grows on the very bottom depths of hellfire, telling us that its shoots or the fruit stalks of it are like the heads of the devils. As he says,
أَذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ نُزُلًا أَمْ شَجَرَةُ الزَّقُّومِ.
Is that paradise a better entertainment? Or is the tree of Zakum better than this? Now come on, we can understand which is the better one here.
You know, Allah Ta'ala is putting here forward a parable. Is paradise better entertainment or the eating, the provisions of the tree of Zakkum?
Inna ja'alnaha fitnatan lidh-dhalimin.
We have only made it a trial for the wrongdoers.
إِنَّهَا شَجَرَةٌ تَخْرُجُ فِي أَصْلِ الْجَحِيمِ
is a tree that springs from the bottom of hell.
طَلْعُهَا كَأَنَّهُ رُؤُوسُ الشَّيَاطِينِ
The shoots of its fruit stalks are like the heads of the devils. In other words, it's a very, very ugly tree.
فَإِنَّهُمْ لَآكِلُونَ مِنْهَا فَمَالِئُونَ مِنْهَا الْبُطُونَ
Surely the disbelievers in hellfire, they shall eat thereof and fill their bellies therewith.
And a further illustration of this is that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam portrayed for us all the ugly and terrifying nature of Zakkum. In a hadith collected by Abu Isa al-Tirmizi, rahmatullah alayhi, from Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if one drop, listen to this carefully, brothers and sisters, if one drop, only one drop, from the tree of Zakkum were to land on this earth, all of its inhabitants and all their means of sustenance will be destroyed. One drop. So can you imagine the one that's got to eat this? It's got to eat Zakkum? Nasrallahu al-afya. Nasrallahu al-afya. Likewise, on the menu you will find that which is called the ghislim. Another obnoxious, bitter tree. Let us see what Allah Ta'ala says about this tree.
Fale.
It is not actually a tree. Some scholars have differed. Some say it's a tree, and others say it is the washing of wounds. Let us see what Allah Ta'ala says regarding this food.
فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَاهُنَا حَمِيمٌ وَلَا طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ غِسْلِينٌ لَا يَأْكُلُهُ إِلَّا الْخَاطِئُونَ
So no friend has he here today. Look at what Allah Ta'ala says to us, brothers and sisters. Today is in hellfire. On that day, He says, so no friend has he this day. There's no one that can help you on that day. No one that can help you. You're in hellfire. You are to blame for being in there. No one can help you. Here today, alhamdulillah, we are learning. We know the right from the wrong. But do we apply the right from the wrong? Or do we let our desires overtake us and thus apply the wrong and leave the right? Let your friends be that which is performed in righteousness. In other words, let your friend be righteousness. Befriend righteousness. By applying, implementing that which Allah loves and leave that which is wrong. Every time you are confronted with an evil, remember the food of the people of hellfire. Remember the drink of the people of hellfire. Remember the clothing, the bedding, the garments, the dress. Remember hellfire in essence. And that may be, inshallah ta'ala, may be a deterrent from that which you want to apply, from the desire that seeks this evil. So beware, beloved brothers and sisters. This is the tree of Zakkum, and this is the tree of ghislin. And likewise, the plant that we started off with. When these people eat these plants, this obnoxious food, they'll get thirsty. And being extremely thirsty, they'll run to find some water. They'll run to find some liquid, something to drink. But they have only a choice of four things. Four things they will have a choice of. One is hamim, hot boiling water. Two is sadid, which is the pus, the fluids that are in between the skin and the flesh of man, or the disbelievers that drops from them. 3 is al-muhl, thick boiling oil. It's been mentioned that when this oil confronts a person, the flesh of his faith falls into it. And then they drink it. And don't forget the size of the inhabitants of hellfire. So there'll be a lot of flesh in this drink. Thick boiling oil. And then they'll drink it. Likewise, they got a choice of al-ghassaqa, which is the festering pus that it oozes from the skin. The juice, you can say, the juices of the people of hellfire. I'm pretty sure none of us want to drink any of this. It's not a thick shake or can of nice cold soft drink or juice. It is, a'udhu billah, drinking the inhabitants of hellfire. This is the drink that they shall have on that day. And they would drink, and they would drink, and they would drink, like diseased camels raging with thirst, but they will not be able to quench their thirst. The more they drink, the more they will need to drink more. And they have no choice but to drink. They have no choice but to eat. They get so hungry that when they eat to their full, and their bellies have become filled with this food, these trees, and this drink, it starts to churn inside them like boiling oil. And this will cause them a great deal of suffering. It will be suffering and suffering and suffering. So the food and the drink will be a form of suffering for them. Likewise, their bedding, they will sleep on fire. Likewise, their garments, they will wear fire. Wherever they go, they will go into fire. And it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and they'll plead more and more and more, to the extent where they start crying and crying and crying, till they have no more tears to cry with. As the hadith mentions, so they start crying what? They start crying blood. And that blood will end up being like canals whereby a ship can sail on. That's how much they'll start crying blood. By the grace and mercy of the Almighty Lord, we ask Him to save us from this evilness. We ask Him to save us from hellfire. Brothers and sisters, this is not a storytelling night. We are not here to tell stories. We are here to talk authenticity, facts, reality. This is the realization. This is what's going to happen to the disbelievers. Don't take this as an allegorical thing or a symbolic thing or metaphorical. This is a fact. This is the reality. So when you go home tonight, think of these things. And not just think, alhamdulillah, I've sought knowledge of the food and drink or the menu of hellfire. Implement Islam. Love Islam. Value Islam. Raise your head and say, alhamdulillah, I am Muslim. Don't walk in the street like this. No, walk like this in front of the kuffar. I am a Muslim, walillahi alhamd. I love Allah Ta'ala. I love Muhammad Sallam. I love my brothers and sisters in Islam. Walk, not with pride or arrogance, no, but with pride that you are a Muslim, that you have been blessed, shielded by Allah's mercy. And out there today, you will be confronted with trials, with afflictions, in order to examine you, in order to test you. Are you going to be steadfast? Are you going to persevere? Are you going to be patient in the face of adversity? It's all an examination. It's a test. Do not think that it's good enough to say, I am a Muslim, or khalas. No. Say, I am a Muslim and I am proud to be Muslim. So when you ask, what is your name? My name is Muhammad. Not Michael. What is your name? My name is Aisha. Not Sandra. When you dress as a Muslim, people see that. They might laugh at you, and they do laugh at you. How many times I walk around, look at this guy. I say, look at you. You know, I'm a follower of Islam, of the safe sect. I'm from the inshallah, the inhabitants of paradise. Where are you ending up? What is your destination? Nasallahu al-afiyah. I feel sorry for you. You can laugh and laugh and laugh, but the laugh, the greater laugh is here, as mentioned in the Quran. they will laugh, and they will laugh, and they will giggle, and mock, and jest. But you will have the greater jest on the day of resurrection. Brothers and sisters, be happy. Be strong. Be faithful. You are believers. You are Muslims. You are blessed. You are shielded by Allah's mercy. Don't ever feel weak. Don't ever feel disparaged or degenerated. Always know that you are a soldier of Allah Ta'ala, loving Allah Ta'ala. You are an obedient servant of the Almighty Lord. Don't ever feel negative in the path that you are on. No matter how much is talked out there, how much is spoken out there, that should instead increase your faith, not decrease your faith, should strengthen your faith, not minimize or diminish your faith. If you are a bull one day, you become a raging bull the next. You don't become a cow. A bull to a raging bull, not to a goat. Because you know that you are on the truth. Wallahi, they can laugh, they can joke, they can play, they can do what they want to do. Just yesterday I was talking with my wife. Wallahi, this is almost every day it happens to me. But one of the incidents yesterday, and I went to fill up the car with petrol. Look, we're not blind. Allah has given us vision, vigilance, more than they ever have in their life. That's why we're Muslims, alhamdulillah, we accepted Islam. And then I can see behind the counter as I was filling the petrol, and I looked on my side of my eye. Hey, look at this person. She's looking at it. Look at her dress code. Look at her. They're laughing. Wallahi, laughing. All of them behind the teller. There are three or four of them. Laughing at my wife, dressed in the full veil. She was in the car. But I could see him pointing and laughing and giggling when I saw them. وَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمَ الرَّعْبِ Because Allah has placed fear in their heart. They are not people. They are not men. They're cowards. They're weak. You got something to say? Say it in front of my face. I don't think they'll dare to say it in front of my face. Because they think that we're scary people. Because they think that we're scary people. Brothers and sisters, understand that you are, inshallah, from the inhabitants of paradise. Do not let anyone ever demoralize you. Do not let anyone ever weaken you, diminish you, deminimize you. Let them, with their actions, strengthen you. Make you, like I said, a raging bull that no one can stop. Put the shield of Islam before your very eyes and say, I am a Muslim. When prayer comes to Dhuhr or Asr, do not say, can I go and pray now? If you, please, please. Say, I am going to pray now. Please, where can I pray? It's my time. Stop the car, pray on the side of the road where no one's walking, and feel strong about it. That you have accepted Islam, and that you are an obedient servant of Allah Ta'ala by praying and fulfilling His obligations. And you look around and you say, Allahumma sta'an, Allah yahdikum jami'an. When there everyone's working, sleeping, and snoring, and you are up there praying and worshipping Allah Ta'ala. As the hadith mentions, regarding the night prayer, ifshu salam, spread salam, ut'amu ta'am, spread the food, give people food. Be a charitable person. Do not be greedy. And pray. صَلُّ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful hadith. Give the salam. Spread it. To those that you know and to those that you do not know. Muslims. Feed the people, rich and poor. Pray at night while people are snoring. You will enter paradise in peace. Allah Ta'ala says. Have you ever gotten up at night and prayed just 2 rak'at? Wallahi, those who have done this, they can taste the sweetness of faith. Wallahi, they can taste it. And those people have the strongest shield ever made by man. The shield of faith. That any time the devil tries to attack him, no. I am an obedient servant, I do not disobey Allah Ta'ala. You pray just 2 rak'at at night and you will see that strength that Allah places in your heart. And if you do not pray, you have not witnessed this. Nor have you ever, until you pray these 2 rak'at and start praying it, you will never be able to witness the sweetness, al-halawatul iman, the sweetness of faith. Wallahi, it's guaranteed Islamically that that will strengthen you. And that will make you so strong that you will never be affected by anyone. And you hold the flag of La ilaha illallah until you die while you're holding the flag of La ilaha illallah. Anyway, inshallah ta'ala, I went beyond the topic. We ask the Almighty Lord to bless us and to strengthen our faith and to make us stronger and stronger and stronger and place us thus in the highest of paradise. Al-Firdaws al-A'la. أقول ما تسمعون. We ask the Almighty Lord to forgive us and have mercy on us and place us in paradise.